Skies.
We were sitting on our porch when we lived in a Broadway house one time, and I don't drink energy drinks, but I saw this Red Bull car go by, and like it was a truck, but it had a giant can of Red Bull on it, and they were the people just from the company,
like the street team.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And I saw him, and I like ran. Like I ran down the porch, and everybody started laughing, and I like ran like about 7 blocks to catch it because he was down in the courthouse part somewhere. And I was like, can I get a Red Bull? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they gave me a 6-pack of Red Bulls. And then I ran back to the porch. I'm like, here you guys go. Because I didn't want them. I was just doing it to kind of make people laugh, but I didn't expect them to actually give me Red Bull.
Dude, when we would play shows all the time, I don't know what it was, but people would always bring it. What is it? Red Bull? What do you put with Red?
Oh, Jägermeister.
Jäger bombs. Yeah. That was the one thing that people always thought we wanted.
Yeah.
Like, here, drink a Red Bull right before you play so your fingers are all jittery.
I was talking about that, too, because I hate Bull Blasters, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate them, dude, and people would always bring shots up to the stage. And so you either drink it, or you look like an asshole for not drinking it.
Yeah.
And it's a shitty decision. That used to happen with me. Tonight we ride a lot. Pretty much every show we played, somebody would bring up Bull Blasters to the stage. And I'd just drink it because I was like,
fuck. I think for the record, the best drink, if you're on stage, Die Hippie Die. For me.
I love Die Hippie Die.
I never overdid them, though. You know, it's like juice. A little kick.
I've overdubbed pretty much any shaker they had at the J Bar.
Dude, the few times I hooked up with girls at J Bar, it was always with like Kamikazes and Die Hippie Dies. Like, you just show up with a shaker, and like I remember the one time, and it was probably the only time in my life ever that I ever had any kind of nuts with like girls. I remember there's 3 girls at this one table. And then I went over and sat down next to him and just dropped 4 shot glasses. And I was like, you want to have some shots with me? And I did kind of well. Like, I was working on the girl next to me. And then Brad came over and said something stupid. I don't even remember what. It just totally blew me out of the water. I don't remember what he said, but I remember I've been semi-mad at him for years since then. Because how often do you penetrate a group, like a ring of girls like that, and actually get somewhere? You know,
he doesn't come out to the bars very often either.
No, he did for a while when he was dating Annie, from what I understand.
Dating my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. I never talked about it with you, but I know.
Yeah, I got it out through Facebook, so.
So are they still together then?
Yeah.
Wow. Everybody better not talk about his business. We'll just leave it at he screwed me out of getting with some girls and he's screwing Brandon's ex-girlfriend.
But it's not like he...
I mean, I guess we're married, so we can't really complain anymore.
You make it sound like he stole her from Brandon.
I know.
And it's completely...
It's just weird, though, like, because I saw, like, them two coming together on Facebook because I was friends with each of them separately on Facebook.
And they're making announcements and
I'm like,
and stuff.
All of a sudden, like, his feeds are adding up to her feeds. I'm like, wait a
putting
second.
Putting this together.
It's so weird the way, like, all that stuff works nowadays, man. I kind of like it just because, like, I've gotten to the point where I don't go out very much anymore, and so it,
You still feel
it lets
like
me
somewhat connected?
Yeah, it makes me feel more connected with everybody. I kind of dig that. I shouldn't have held it off for so many years.
Well, you know, if you miss the whole MySpace thing, good for you.
I did.
Good for you.
Well, and I tried.
It's never too late, though. You could still go make
a right. I still have a MySpace page. I went to make it in a year.
Yeah,
and
it's like a ship that went off to sail with nobody on it and nobody cares.
Well, what's really funny about it was when I was doing the podcast, I tried to think of everything possible to promote the podcast, and I started to try and put together a MySpace page, but I never quite got to it. And then Adrian said something about the Montucky Skies and kept needling me with it. And I was like, yeah, I guess I better do it. Mm-hmm. And so I started an account, and I wanted nothing to do with it at first. And I'd occasionally have people want to be friends who didn't even know who I was. And I was like, yeah, okay. But I know now they're probably bots. You know, give away information. But, anyway, so I don't know why it held off so long. It was stupid. It was one of those stubborn things, like cell phones. When cell phones came out, I was like, fuck cell phones. People are always so rude with their cell phone and talking and stuff whenever they need to. Like, being able to reach somebody any time of day. Fuck that shit, man. And now, like, I can't imagine being without a cell phone.
Yeah, same with texting. I thought, like, it's like, that's so stupid. And now I do it all the time. I don't text like a little girl. Like,
yeah.
Not like, hey, how you doing? But it's fast media. You can just get your point across, you know, and then move on.
That's the thing, too. Like, texting, to me, I saw the allure of it immediately once it was free, because I'm like, oh, I don't like talking to people on the phone for 2 hours.
I don't like spending it, like, 10 minutes to ask somebody one question.
No, that's true.
I don't like that either, and that's when I just call. Like, I was going to text you about the podcast today, but I was like, I kind of want to talk about that Nene trade. And so I just called you up. But if it's just a reminder for the podcast, I would have just sent a text and been done with it, you know? No need to have the
conversation. But if there's something you want to talk, you can still talk.
And that's where the older people are missing the boat. They just don't realize the advantages to texting. There's other ones, too. My older uncle was bitching about it, just being kind of a dick. My uncle back in Oregon. And he was going on and on about texting, and I was trying to, like, make the point I just made. And I was like, you know, and he plays in a band. And so I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of nice sometimes if you're running the board, if you need to talk to somebody, you can send out a text really quick because they can't hear you on the phone. And he still wasn't conceding the point. And all of a sudden, I get a text in my pocket, and it's my brother, like, 2 feet from me, saying, what a dick. Like, on the text. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's another advantage. Like, you can talk shit about somebody in the room to somebody else in the room without that person knowing.
Yeah, right next to him. Well, what do you think the next thing is going to be? I mean, it went from MySpace to Facebook. To bring back, then, you know, rotary phones to cordless to cell phones to texting. I mean,
something with TV is going to happen, and I don't know what. There's a lot of debate and a lot of different thoughts on it, but I was listening to Mark Cuban, and he was saying that, like, you know, he thinks a lot of TV is going to be on, or a lot of people think that TV is going to be on the internet and TV is going to go away. But he's like, it's not true. When you look at a lot of these events, it's people texting while it's on TV. Like, the bandwidth just isn't there. And every time you start adding to it, there's other things that, like, take away from it. Yeah. And he's like, I think TV is just going to develop more to be connected to the internet, but they're going to be connected. They'll still be separate things. And so, if that's the case, dude, I don't even know. I mean, but I think something with TV and the internet is going to revolutionize everything.
There's always going to be the old person that just wants to hit a button on a box and sit
down. And that was one
of
the points he made, too. Like,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
I still like just hitting a button, sitting down, watching TV.
Yeah, we came out, we, you know, when we were kids, there weren't remote controls. I mean, if you're lucky, maybe.
Yeah, there wasn't in my household for sure.
Yeah, you had some knobs.
I was getting...
You had the knob, and if you turned
it... I was definitely double digits before there was a remote in my house.
Yeah, dude, we had 2 through 13, but, I mean, that was only if you had cable. The first couple of years, we couldn't afford cable, so it was like Channel 3 was all we had. No, Channel 4, because Channel 3 was HBO. Nobody got that I'm here. But, And if you turn the dial too slow, remember, sometimes it would stick between the numbers.
Well, you had, like, the regular dial, and then you had the outer dial.
Yeah.
To, like, do the fine tuning.
That was the first time I ever saw boobies. Yeah. HBO, they did like that weekend free thing. It's like, oh yeah.
What did you just tape all that stuff? Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, well, we didn't have a VCR. We would, you know, those things were hundreds of dollars in the 80s, the early 80s.
Yeah, we got on, my mom must have shelled out a buck for it, because as soon as VHS hit the front loader, she bought one.
We would just rent one from the video store. It sounds so barbaric.
It's
and you know, there's a lot of times I'm like, man, I wish I could rent a PlayStation for 3 for a weekend.
Oh yeah, they don't really do that kind of stuff.
You know,
that
was just like, I think about it because I don't have a PlayStation 3, but like, there's a couple games I wouldn't mind just sitting down a weekend and just.
And it'd be nice if you're considering buying one to be able to check it out and see how cool.
But I remember used to go down to the local video store and just, you could rent a VCR. And just bring it home, and it had like a little plastic case that came in, plug it into the TV.
You're right.
Taking it back to Indiana Jones a little bit here, I figured out a little while ago why I love Temple of Doom so much. Because it is kind of ridiculous. Like, I hear people needle me for this all the time. And I've realized what it is a nostalgia thing. Because, and let me just paint it out, because I know it's irrational, but I will always love it, probably the best of the Indiana Jones movies, and this is why. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark and loved it when I was a kid. And then, so when it came out, when Temple of Doom finally came out, it was PG-13, which I think was, it might have been the first movie with the PG-13. And my mom was like, I don't think you can watch this. Like, she thought it was too adult for me. I think she heard about the heart pulling. And was just like, no, you can't watch this. So we went to the video store twice a week, religiously, dude. Like, it was like, we would rent it, 3 days later, we're back at the video store, 3 days later, we're back at the video store, and we're always renting stuff every time we go. This was when I lived in Portland. I was, like, in second grade. And every time we went, I swear to God, for a solid year, they had Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, like this giant display of him with a whip, and they had cobwebs hanging over it and spiders hanging down, like fake spiders hanging down from the cobwebs. They had fake snakes all over it. They had a little bit of a pyramid thing built around it, and then just all the movies to buy. And I mean, back in those days, it was probably like a $100 movie, you know? But they also like had all the ones to rent on the other side. And every day I would have to, like, you know, for like a year, go to the video store and see like this cardboard cutout that looks so fucking cool with all the stuff around it. And I just wanted to see it so bad. And then I remember they were playing it. This one day, my mom took a really long time to like watch the movie or pick out whatever movie she wanted. And they were playing it on the screens up above. And so I watched like essentially the entire movie in the video store. And then I grabbed it. She's like, you can't watch it. I'm like, I just watched the whole thing, Mom, except for the beginning. And she was like, fine. Because my mom goes up easy like that, you know?
I used to go to the library when I was like 11, 12, 13 years old when I lived in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that's how I'd rent movies. And they were free. And the thing about going there, it's probably changed, but there wasn't any parental control. Dude, I rented Showgirls when I was a teenager from the Cheyenne Library. It's like, wow, and Saved by the Bell, there we go.
Oh, God, and the internet is like the wild, wild west anymore, man. Like, they always talk about, like, oh, there's all these protections for your kids, but come on, dude, what kid can't figure out, like, do you want to go off of Safe Search? Yes. Safe Search off. And now it's on.
Yep.
Yeah. And that aspect, I'm glad that I have a girl, because they seem to just be averse to pornography. Not going to be a problem there.
A whole lot of other problems, but not that.
Yeah, it's more dudes trolling for her on the internet, I'm sure.
Ugh.
That's sick. I have two girls. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's why I teach them that computers are evil. While I'm sitting there, like, cutting together a song and, like, watching the next episode of Walking Dead, they're like, hey, can you use the computer? No, it's evil. It's evil. Stay away from it. Just gotta check my email. Quiet, I'm checking my email on the evil machine.
Don't make the mistakes I made.
It's too late for me.
No.
Speaking of start, you're a good person to talk to about this. How do you feel about the whole, I know this is a bit of a dead issue now, but how do you feel about like them retreading Star Wars again?
The prequels? You mean the...
No!
Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, and I heard your podcast where you talked about that. First of all, who shot first, Han or Guido?
Han shoots first.
Han was the only one who shot.
Yeah.
Like, Han shot and Guido died. Like, I know it's Han shot first is the saying, but in reality, Han was the only one who shot. Yeah. Han shot, Greedo died.
So I think that's my biggest problem with the change. I think the Ewoks blinking, okay, that's kind of cool. The puppets were kind of cheesy. Sure. I mean, I haven't seen it. But, I mean, that was the only thing that really pissed me off on a nerd level. It's like, no, man, don't take that away from us. It's like when Steven Spielberg redid E.T., and, you know, they made fun of it in South Park, but it was true. They took out the guns and put in walkie-talkies awkwardly in the people's hands. That is just wrong. It's an alien. Come on.
Did you hear about what Steven Spielberg said about that, too?
No.
That was when Brandon brought to the table. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was basically, he's like, I screwed this up.
Okay.
He came in and like, I'm re-releasing this and I'm putting it back.
Yeah, he was saying it for like an anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he was restoring the print, and he wanted everybody to know that he wasn't changing it at all. They were just restoring it, and then he made the point that he knew he made a mistake, and that he was going to change E.T. to the way it was when they went to restore that for an anniversary edition. I think that's a good call. I was like, and this is the other thing. Another podcast, Court and Fat Boy, I listen to sometimes, was talking about this, and this guy brought up a really good point. Okay, so Phantom Menace. Remember, like, Jar Jar, George Lucas being like, well, you know, it's for the kids and all that, and, like, talking about Jar Jar was put in there for the kids, right?
Yeah.
Do your kids like, have your kids watched Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Can they tolerate Jar Jar? Does he annoy the shit
out
of them?
He annoys the piss out of them.
Dude, children are annoyed by fucking Jar Jar. There was no real point to put in Jar Jar. Like, he tried to, like, do the mea culpa in the second one where he's like, I nominate the Emperor.
Yeah, and the out is they say, well, that was the reason why he was in it to begin with, is for that little bitch move.
No, it was for marketing.
They were trying to fill the shoes of Han and Chewbacca and maybe C-3PO a little bit. But come on, man. You're never going to replace him.
Nobody likes C-3PO either.
I like C-3PO, but not...
R2 is obviously
like
better.
I'm fond of the character, but he is a bitch. Like, no doubt about it. He's a bitch, but...
I think the guy that played Jar Jar, and don't make fun of me for knowing this, I think his name is, like, Ahmed Best or something. And the funny thing is, on set from The Phantom Menace, you read the reviews, or the articles and stuff, they all thought he was the funniest dude ever on set. Like, he was just the man. And it just didn't translate at all. The effects look bad.
Maybe they're just the worst... Like, there are people with the worst sense of humor is on the set.
Yeah.
Like, you never hear Natalie Portman do stand-up comedy, you know what I mean?
She's funny on the Lonely Island soundtrack.
She was, who wrote that, dude?
Although
I maintain it was probably the Lonely Island that wrote that song, not her.
I would love to see Liam Neeson do stand-up and just bomb. Just be horrible. I mean, I love him as an actor, but how funny would that be?
I like
the crickets in the crowd.
I like that he did... the rehash of Taken as well. The only thing he did do was yell, "Give me back my son!" My dog looks shaken. You're making me look bad on the podcast, Badge.
How do you feel about that, Badge? You can stick my shoe.
Going back to Star Wars a little bit,
sure.
Topher Grace, did you hear about this? The guy who played Eric Foreman in That 70s Show. He did an edit of the prequels into an hour and a half movie, and people are saying it totally works.
Oh, he took
all
three
movies
and
cut them into an hour and a half.
Into one movie, and they said it works, like, really well.
Wow.
Although, at this stage, they can't put it out because Lucasfilm.
Oh, there's no way it ever be released.
So he must be like a super nerd Star Wars geek, just like he was on
that 70s show. Yeah.
Must, I mean, who would do that?
Wow. Only Venom.
Venom would do that. Yeah. Worst choice for Venom ever.
They
dude.
Wanted to make him like Peter Parker.
I know what he was trying to do, but Sam Raimi dropped the ball in that movie.
That was
simple, man. I love Sam Raimi. Like
the second one was the best of the Spider-Man movies by far.
I agree. That's in the running for best superhero movie, I think. Like the second one. I wouldn't say it's necessarily the best, but it's up there.
There's some real contenders now. You think of like the last year. Like, I really liked X-Men First Class. I have to say,
this is the best of the franchise, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they're making another Wolverine movie, but...
What do you think, Brian? I see you scowling there.
I really like X2.
The second one?
Yeah.
I guess...
It's the best of the trilogy, by
far. I guess
far.
It was sort of... The thing I have against it is not against the movie... It's just like, I read Weapon X when I was a kid, and to see it on the screen, I was like, they kind of fucked it up.
Well, they do that with all of them.
I know they did, but I really liked Weapon X.
Yeah. But I thought that X-Men First Class was overall good, like pretty darn good. There was a few parts that gave me goosebumps.
That
like,
Magneto scene where he, like, with the Nazis hiding in South America... That was fucking badass. The knife.
Oh yeah. Or when Professor X like kind of enables him to fully like see what his powers are. You know, it's the storm and it's the calmness of it. That part, like, I almost cried. Okay, like, and for what it is, I mean, that guy gave a great performance. I thought the main actors, that you know, Xavier and Magneto, those guys tore it up. I think a lot of the little parts. They weren't very good actors. And I don't mind that they're going to be in the sequel.
But they're little parts, you know.
Like, even... and I don't watch Mad Men. I know some people are going to...
Janet Jones. She's terrible
in it. Horrible
in
it.
She's hot.
She was hot.
Terrible. And that was the point, was they wanted eye candy for her.
But have somebody feed her the lines and then just have her copy the emotion of the person.
You know,
don't they try that?
You're right. Like, they dropped the ball on casting her because she's not a good actress. She's just not. Like, I love Mad Men, and she's good in it, but she plays herself in it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that character you see is the same character that's in the...
January Jones.
Yeah, and she's hot as hell, but she's, like, she's just not a good actor, man. She's just not at all. And, yeah, they dropped the ball on that
Kevin
one for
Bacon.
Sure. But if you're going to use a Mad Men character, or person, do it like they did in Iron Man 2. Like, they nailed it with Iron Man 2. Like, he played Tony Stark's dad. They got one of the main characters in Mad Men to play Tony Stark's dad.
He's
fucking great in that, dude. And he's perfect because he already seems like a dude from the 60s.
I don't remember. Did they get the same guy for Captain America? For
a different actor. I almost want to say they got Topher Grace for it.
He kind of looks like. It's not him, but he definitely has that scrawny
nerd quality.
Yeah,
they did kind of screw up on that. They probably should have gotten the same actor, but that's okay. It was fun anyway.
But this whole 3D Star Wars thing, it's got to stop, man.
The conversion was bad, too.
It has to be. If the movie came out like... 14 years ago now, and I don't know. I mean, they're doing one a year, so we're gonna every year until 2018, we're gonna get a Star Wars movie.
Ugh.
And they're gonna rehash all the toys and everything every year for the movie.
We talked about this before, and you said you were gonna take your kids to it. Did you take your kids to it?
I thought about it,
and I would maintain if they would be bored as shit, dude. Just put on that movie, sometime, and see how much they like it, dude. Like, kids like to sit there and sit through a Senate scene for like 25 minutes? It's like space C-SPAN, most of that.
The
movie,
chemistry
dude.
Between Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen is just non-existent.
Are you an angel?
Oh, yeah, Jake Lloyd. Yeah.
I hear the space pirates talk about him.
Shut up, kid.
What are midichlorians?
I hate that kid, dude. So
I'll come back for you, mother.
Yeah. And you can't blame the kid. I mean, what a lucky little guy to get picked for that. But they should have gotten, like, a young, like, Leonardo DiCaprio or something. Like, somebody, like, you know, not so kindergarten.
Patton Oswalt had a really funny bit talking about the Star Wars prequels. He's like, I wish I could go back in a time machine and talk to George Lucas and be like, so you're making the new Star Wars movie? Oh yeah, you're really gonna like it. Like, there's a part where you know Darth Vader? Oh yeah, I love Darth Vader. Yeah, you get to see him as a kid,
and he cries a lot.
Oh, kid.
He said,
okay, I guess. You like Boba Fett? Oh yeah, I love Boba Fett. You get to see him when he's a kid,
and he's sad.
Yeah, he's like, okay. You like C-3PO? Yeah. You can see him when he's getting built. I don't need to know what things were like before they worked.
And George Lucas said that the whole C-3PO thing, he just couldn't get past the fact that he is now C-3PO's father as well as Luke. Like, that was the
George Lucas said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was his... that was the thing that he just thought was too clever. And looking back, stupid.
Dude, even at the time, I was like...
What?
Okay, that... We talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but sometimes my nerd brain needs time to process how bad things are, like, especially if it's a franchise.
Yeah.
When I first see it, I'm like, no, it's great. And then it takes a little while to process before I realize it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And Phantom Menace is that way. I didn't realize it until the second time I watched the Attack of the Clones, how bad it was. But even the thing that got to me in the theater was, like, when you're sitting there watching Phantom Menace and, like, C-3PO's there being built by, like, Darth Vader. Like, why the fuck wouldn't he know that, like, he brings that into the droid? Oh, that drives me crazy, dude. It makes no sense at all. And even at the time, I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. You could have put him in, just don't put him where he's building them. You know what I mean?
There could have been so many, like, better avenues for that. And I gotta say, like, we're ripping on the new trilogy a lot, and yeah, there's a lot to rip on. Overall, yeah. I'm glad they made it, because we got to see lightsabers, and, like, we got to see, like, the Jedi Knights finally kick some ass and stuff.
Return of the Sith, I don't think, was a bad movie.
It was a little long, but yeah.
It was a little long.
I'll say this, the last half hour of Revenge of the Sith is the best of all of them, of the prequels.
I think
it's pretty flawless.
And even, I mean, there's moments in them, but...
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this Eric Foreman cut would be good. Maybe I'll just totally nerd out and get a DVR of that and just watch that over and over again. Because if you could condense them to the good parts... Like, Phantom Menace, dude, I wouldn't mind fucking watching, like... Like the double lightsaber scene with Darth Maul. Like, that was pretty fucking bad.
They needed more of that, less Senate seat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that lightsaber scene was the most exciting lightsaber fight, I thought.
I was like, looking forward to, and then it was like 5 minutes. And it was a drawn out 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it's cut with a lot of boring shit, too. Like, then they show the kid, like, running around the city.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, my God. And then Jar Jar, and you're like, oh, come on.
The whole digital fight between the Gungans and the battle droids. Wow, what a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Star Wars, I feel tortured with. The older I'm getting, the more I'm starting to hate it. Even though I love it and reference it all the time, like, it's just the stuff that George Lucas has done with it. I just wish he'd leave it alone.
I think the thing is, or the out, you could say, is in between the original movies and the new movies, he had kids. I mean, I know he was like a single parent. And, you know, he had, I don't know, a few daughters. I don't know if he had any sons. But I think that he kind of wanted to make it more for them, especially the early ones. But that said, I mean, why didn't he just, like, hire a team to write it for him? Steven Spielberg
wanted to... Irvin Kershner was still alive.
Yeah, there you go. Steven Spielberg...
He directed Empire Strikes Back, the best one. Bring it back, dude. Yeah, Spielberg would have done that in a heartbeat.
He wanted to do Attack of the Clones, but George wouldn't let him. It was
really?
Very public, yeah. George was like, no, this is my baby, and Steven Spielberg understood that. And I think maybe that was a little bit of why Spielberg wanted to do a new
Indiana Jones. Maybe. Dude, Spielberg should have said no. I don't understand why him and Harrison Ford didn't say, you know...
Money.
George. That was another one that took me a while to process how bad it was, because I went to it in denial of how bad the shit unfolding on the screen that I was watching was. But then it occurred to me a while ago, like, I haven't rewatched it, and I don't want to rewatch it.
I haven't either.
Dude, and if you were right now to say, let's watch Indiana Jones and the blank anything but Crystal Skull, I would be down. And that's how bad it is, dude. And those two seem like they knew better, but they did it anyway because, I don't know. And George Lucas has kind of lost his fucking mind, dude.
Well,
the alien thing. What's his obsession with aliens, man?
I don't know.
Like, aliens do not belong in an Indiana Jones film. They just don't. The Russians, I thought, wasn't a bad choice. That made sense to me. But the aliens?
And the whole Crystal Skull thing was very cool. But why did they have to take it over to that edge? I mean, you ever play the Uncharted games? It's a PlayStation franchise. Like, it's like the landmark franchise. They're all great. I love them all. And it's kind of indie, but, like, amped up a little bit. And then, usually near the end of them, they put a little science fiction in there, but they would never put, like, an alien in there. Like, they had, like, Yetis in one of them and that kind of stuff. And that's awesome. You just tip it over the edge a little bit to make it, you know, still within the believability realm.
I'm going to say something. You might laugh at me when I say it, but I'm serious.
Well, I might. I don't know yet.
Have you seen The Adventures of Tintin?
I haven't.
It's fucking, it's more of an Indiana Jones movie than the
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. How many times are you going to say it on the podcast?
As many times as it takes for people watching.
Until America gets behind
it. It's fucking great, dude. And it's like a Steven Spielberg joint. John Williams does the music. Everything's laid out like Indiana Jones movies.
Just George Lucas was not involved.
Had nothing to do with it, dude. And Jason Sudeikis does the voice of the drunken sidekick, which is great.
Oh, I can't remember who that is.
He's on Saturday Night Live. He was Jesus in the Tebow sketch. And he's also in the movie Hall Pass.
Okay, yeah, he is funny.
Yeah, he's also in Eastbound and Down right now. He's like,
oh, nice.
Is that a good show again?
Yeah, they're four episodes in.
Danny McBride.
If you ever want to come over and watch him, dude, I'll rewatch him with you.
It's funny, dude.
He's got a kid in this one. It's terrible. Oh, like, he gets dumped off with his kid that he's avoided for a year, pretty much. And, like, he just suddenly...
Oh, the principal's ex-wife's kid?
I don't think they got married. I think they... Well... Before they got married, but yeah. They got together, and then she got pregnant.
I thought they were married.
Okay, well, regardless.
Whatever.
They got together. He found out she's pregnant. He abandons her, basically. She has a baby, and so he's only there briefly, trying to hook up back with her, not caring about the kid. So now he's stuck with the kid.
That was like the season ender.
Yeah. I'm just telling you how it begins the season. So basically, like, when he goes places, he has a backpack and keeps it in a backpack. Like, zipped up, too.
Oh. Like a one-year-old.
Wow. I haven't seen that.
He's, like, doing coke and staring at the baby, going, like, why are you cursing me?
Wow. And he can get away with that, too. He is so funny.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Your Highness?
I started to watch it the other night, and I thought it was really funny. My wife, like, wanted to hate it, and she started laughing with it, too, and then I fell asleep. It wasn't boring, I was just tired.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's, like, great cinema, but it's
no, pretty, it's not great it's cinema, but it's hilarious.
It's about the anti-great,
because you can tell Kenny Powers wrote it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have you seen the K-Swiss commercials? With Kenny Powers?
Maybe. Remind me. He's done a lot of commercials as Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory.
There was one he did. It was about 3-4 minutes long. You have to YouTube it.
All right. He wrote a really funny article.
And it's got, like, Michael Bay in it. I mean, it's over the top.
You should, I should have sent you a link. I'm going to send you a link to this one article if I can find it. But in Grantland.com, Kenny Powers writes an article, like, with advice to Tim Tebow. It is so funny, dude. It just, I know everybody thinks you're the shit right now, like you're the second coming of Jesus, just like old Kenny Powers. But and the more he's talking about, it's supposed to be advice to Tim Tebow, but the entire time he's writing it, you can tell he's just praising himself the entire article. But yeah, that guy's the shit. Have you ever seen what's the name? The one with Adam Sandberg or Andy Sandberg, where he's the stuntman.
Stuntman, wasn't that the name of it?
No, it's like Hot Dog or something.
Oh,
like
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, that's it. Stuntman. Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
That's a great movie. Yeah.
I think as long as he's cast as that dude, he'll last a while. I don't know.
Andy Samberg?
Danny McBride.
Yeah, there you go. McBride. I mean, and that's who he was, and that's who he was in Your Highness.
Seen 30 Minutes or Less?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Terrible.
I didn't like it.
It's Danny McBride in
it.
It's a little over the top. There's funny parts in it.
There's a couple funny parts. I'm glad I saw it, but it's...
Right. I gotta admit, I saw the commercials and I was like, eh.
Yeah, that's the kind of general aftershock of it. You're like, eh.
Yeah, it seemed like they were kind of.
I didn't hate it at all, but I was like,
Parks and Rec. And
am
I
gonna
like,
rewatch it?
Not a Parks and Rec fan?
I like Parks and Rec. I just don't know if I want to follow that dude into other projects.
Yeah.
He's great in Parks and Rec, but I don't know. He kind of annoys me too.
Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, is that his name?
Okay. Yeah, the only reason I remember that is because another comedian was calling him Disease, I'm Sorry. And so it's like kind of just flows right off the tongue.
Isn't that guy who played the Indian guy in Office Space, wasn't he in Aziz as well?
What do you mean in Aziz?
I thought his name was Aziz.
Oh, I don't know. It's like gay lovers. I don't follow those treads online.
Because. Fair enough.
Well, what about The Office? Do you even follow The Office anymore?
I do. I've seen every episode.
So the current ones even as well.
I like it, yeah.
Steve Carell is my second favorite actor behind Christopher Lee. The guy's legendary. I'm gonna cry when he passes on. He's getting old.
One of the few good things in the Star Wars prequels too. Him and Samuel L. Jackson.
Dude, yeah, he's very commanding. But where was I going with this? Yeah, I love The Office still, even without Steve Carell. There's so many characters.
It's funny. That's the thing that people don't get is it's just funny.
Awkward.
Like, you don't have to care about any of the plot lines that are going. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite moments in The Office was when they had the Christmas party ones are always the best. And they had that one where Michael and somebody, I almost want to say it's Ed Helms' character, mm-hmm. Andy, they bring these two Asian girls that they meet with. He refers to the restaurant as the Asian Hooters.
Yeah.
They go to this restaurant, they bring these two Asian girls back, and Steve Carell keeps getting mixed up and has no idea which one is which, because all Asians look the same to him. So at one point, he's sitting there talking to her, and like he's secretly taking this permanent marker out and then just marks her hands so that he can tell which one is which.
It's so good. Yeah.
So great, man. But there's just a lot of funny people on that show, and that's why, like I was saying to my wife last season when Steve Carell was leaving, I was like, you know, I mean, we'll have to see how it shakes out, but I'm like, there's so many funny people on this that they hardly even use.
Yeah.
You can totally make up for it.
And they've taken a lot of the side characters and had them step up more into the forefront. And furthermore,
he is so funny, dude.
Yeah,
he's cool. Who plays Daryl, and there's a lot to do with him, I think.
There's rumors going around, and we'll know, like, probably in 2 months if this is true or not, but there's rumors that Dwight might get a spinoff. Dwight Schrute.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that's definitely a thing. I don't know if it's going to happen yet or not, but this... The NBC's been in talks with the guy for it.
Have you seen the pictures of Newt Gingrich when he was younger?
No.
Exactly like Dwight.
Really?
Like, it is creepily eerie.
That's kind of awesome. In a weird way.
That guy, and Rainn Wilson, like, so funny on that, but, like, you ever notice he plays the same character always?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the first thing I ever saw him in was 6 Feet Under, and I was just like, who the fuck is this guy, man? He's just so weird and, like, creepy.
Have you seen, what is that movie? I think Adrian was talking about it, where Rainn Wilson plays a superhero.
My dad was...
that's who was telling
me. Yeah, my dad was telling me about it, the super or something.
Yeah, it's like pretty that. Good.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. His other movie was bad, though, the one where he's a rock star.
The Rocker?
Yeah.
It's kind of enjoyable at times, but the super, I have to say your dad was right on. Everything he said, I totally agreed with. So that was pretty cool.
Oh my God, Brandon showed me a picture. You guys should look up, at www.buzzfeed.com and look this up. It is fucking uncanny, dude. And you can tell that's Newt Gingrich. Like, it's not doctored or anything. But it looks like the same dude, man.
Wow.
We should find out if he ever worked on a beet farm.
Well, is that the direction that the show would go? Like, Shroot Farms or...
I personally feel...
he kind of has his own empire within, like, the whole Dunder Mifflin thing now.
No, I feel like this... I think I was saying this to my wife. Like, if they go the Frasier direction, I think you can totally make a great show out of it. Because, like, Frasier was basically like, we're going to... Okay, so we'll take Frasier, who you know from the show. And he was great on Cheers. I mean, he was just that... He was that character who just always had a couple of lines, but they were really funny the way he delivered it. So they take him out of that element, and then you throw him into something where, like they did reverse Cheers in a way.
Yeah.
Because, like, Cheers was, like, you had all these, like, working class stiffs, and then you had the erudite who, for some reason, hangs out with all these other guys who like to just get drunk all the time in the bar. And then he turns it into, like, everybody in his world is, like, you know, oh, a new restaurant's opening. Let's go check it out, Niles, and all this stuff. And then you have, like, the dad, who's a really funny character, who's, like, the one who doesn't fit in with any other character. And, if they do something like that with Dwight's show, I think that'd be great. Like... Maybe have Moe's in it, maybe not. I really do like Moe's.
That'd be the only one you'd really have to carry over. But you would have Angela, to have... I think they're having a baby, is what they've been alluding
maybe.
To.
Yeah. Maybe Angela bangs somebody who's not her husband.
But you remember how big the baby was?
Yeah.
And that's how we knew it was a shrewd. So I just don't want it to turn into like a Joey thing with like friends. I would way rather remember Dwight... for the idiot and genius he is.
And I would agree, yeah. You know, and that's why I'm saying, that's why they should copy the Frasier model. And that, okay, so you get like Moe's and like maybe one other guy who's like crazy like Dwight. Like maybe a family member. It would almost have to be with Dwight just to make it, have somebody as insane as him and make the world this insanity and then have one character who grounds it. Who's like a backup character. That's how I feel how they can make it work. Because otherwise, if you make Dwight like the asshole every single episode who like, you know, always does the wrong thing, how can you follow that? Like, you would just get annoyed at him every episode. You want to like the main character, you know?
I just don't see it being like a Thursday night lineup heavy hitter show.
Oh, no, I don't like Kenny Powers, but I watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah, he makes me laugh. Is the That's true. You don't really root for Kenny.
Does
either.
He ever?
Yeah,
do
you're like, I can't really get behind this guy, but I'm gonna watch like him go down in flames.
I've never seen more than a few episodes, although I love it. Does he ever do anything right?
No,
ever once.
Like just when it almost seems like he might,
he
like,
screws
he's
it up.
Like, oh god, it's even worse than I imagined.
Wow. Yeah. He does, he screws up, man. Like, even, they had this episode a while ago where his buddy, he's doing coke with him, and, like, his buddy winds up dying from coke, and he cleans everything up, and he's like, I'll see you later, buddy, and leaves him on the couch, shuts the door and wipes off, like, his fingerprints off the doorknob, and then he opens it again, and he's like, so, show me a sign if you don't want me to take your truck. And then he, like, steals the keys off of him and shuts the door, not wiping his fingerprints off, I might add. Because it's, like, everything he does to every minute detail. is the wrong thing. And if he looks like he's going to do the right thing, it's setting it up for like him deciding to go down in flames harder.
I'll tell you, this is kind of changing the subject. My favorite show on TV is Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's a great show.
I love it. And it's finally coming back on the 1st of next month. April 1st, I believe, is the start date for season 2. You were kind of talking about how The Walking Dead is you and your wife's show. That's the one show that you guys are on equal footing on, that you both love equally.
It is, and we talked about it. I think there's... I misspoke on that. There's a couple other ones. At Breaking Bad, we're on the same level as well. No, I don't think we are, actually. Brand new ones, we are, but I want to rewatch them, and she's like, no, I'm done with it. And I'm like, no, we got to rewatch them all!
Well, Game of Thrones, that's my show with my lady. Like, we both love it. I mean, she loves it just as much as I do, and so we're pretty excited about that.
Have you read the books?
I'm on the first one. I think I'm probably 3/4 through the first one. And from what I understand, each book is going to be a season of the show.
Yeah.
So they have like 5 books now, I think.
Well, isn't Game of Thrones the name of the first book, but it's not the series?
A Game of Thrones is the first book, yeah. So it's pretty awesome. The thing that I like about it from reading the book now is it translates really well. It feels like the same product, the book and the show. They're very married. They did a really good job with that. So I can't wait. And I don't want to give anything away. If you saw it, you know, there's some huge spoilers, especially like that last 5 minutes.
I know, man. It's just like that damn family, dude. That damn family.
The Lannisters.
I haven't seen any of it. What's the premise of the show?
The premise of the show is essentially, it's sort of a fantasy thing, but kind of realistic.
Okay.
And
they allude to,
it's
like,
basically like these two families that are in a power struggle for the throne, and it's great. It's hard to break down, but I have the first episode. I think I was talking about this before on a Mexican Blu-ray, and it's all in English, and the transfer is good.
Because I got a friend that's got the... She went and bought the first season.
You should borrow it and watch it. And this is what I'll say about it. You have to decide that you want to watch it, and you have to get through the first 5 and then watch the 6. Because the first episode is captivating, and the next 4 kind of drag. But they're necessary for the next 4 episodes, which will fucking kick you in the ass, dude.
Yeah, you get your ass kicked a lot. I have to say, though, I was more...
Because you have to understand who all the characters are and all the allegiances. Setup. I'm just explaining because it is hard sometimes. Like, I got that advice from somebody.
I have to kind of disagree, though, because I remember feeling way more hungry after the second episode than the first episode.
I love those things at the beginning of the first episode. I can't wait for those to show back up, man. I was really hoping they'd show back up in that season.
Who's your favorite character?
He's dead.
Okay, so don't say. Don't say that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's too good of a show to ruin. Like, right, at least wait for season 2 to come out.
Yeah, you're right. I don't even want to ruin it.
And then if people haven't seen it by then just throw out all the spoilers if you want.
Yeah, and there's wargs in it, but they're just wolves, basically.
Dire wolves, yeah. And they kind of allude to the fact that dragons once existed and that they're extinct.
Because of a dragon egg.
Dragon bones and stuff. So there's all these...
Like, really the only supernatural thing that happens, I think, was in the first episode, at the very beginning of the first episode.
The White Walkers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they call them, the White Walkers.
They're like zombies, basically.
Yeah, and you're watching it. Look at that. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, dude. That's how good it is. I'll take a picture and put it up on the net.
Captivating. But it's HBO, I think it's the biggest hit yet, and I could see it going off. And I don't know, man. I don't know when the story is going to end. When I think his name's George R.R. Martin, when he's done with the series. But if they wanted to do like a big budget movie, okay. But the cool thing is, every episode's like an hour long. You're not getting the commercials on HBO.
Dude, and it's a hard hour, too. I mean, not difficult to watch, but there's a lot going on. You don't want to miss a second of that
hour. They jump from character to character, and that's the way the book is. Every chapter, the chapter is named after the character. And so it kind of follows their perspective, but it still paints this whole, like, epic picture that's just so impressive.
That little person who's in it?
Yeah.
You know, he's Tywin
Lannister.
He's sort of my favorite character. Sure. The other guy...
He's a little whore.
The other guy, too, but since he's still standing, he's my favorite character. And his family's terrible, don't get me wrong. But he's great, and he's in the Highness. Like, we were watching that the other night, and I'm like, it's the dwarf from Game of Thrones.
He's been in a lot of movies. He just finally had that big move, that big role now that people are going to recognize him from for years. You know that show's
been going on. Yeah, like Mini-Me. Ben,
what's
his name?
Vern
Troyer. Yeah, Vern Troyer.
That's just a low blow, though. You had to name the only other little person in Hollywood. Name another one.
I can name two others.
Danny DeVito doesn't count.
Well, I don't know his name, but the guy who wears the lifts in Seinfeld.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's also in the Watchmen. He's like the mob boss in jail.
Yeah, he's a little badass.
And I've seen him in a lot of stuff, but I don't know his name. And then the most obvious one to me is Warwick Davis.
Oh, God, how did I forget
him? Yeah, the most famous little person of them all, dude.
Yeah,
Maybe in history. I can't think of a little person like that little more famous.
Well, they say that back in the day, people were smaller, so I don't know, maybe there's some biblical...
They say Napoleon was small, but did you know he was actually only 2 feet tall?
That's why he was so pissed off.
Yeah, how much have we grown? This is,
I don't know.
Over the last 150 years, about 6 inches average height.
Wow. Now, is that just the Americans versus the average person? Because I know we're taller than the rest of the world for the most part.
As far as I know, that's just American.
Okay. Yeah, because we're tall. I guess if you go to Europe, everybody's like a couple inches shorter than us. Because I think because of food and stuff. What time is it?
Quarter to three.
I think it's time to cut this off. So I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Sam.
Take it easy.